So this month is our mission month, and we have lined out a lot of special speakers, and I'm just here to introduce you into and usher you into the month of mission month. And we would like to once again encourage you, all right? For those who have been here for the many years, we will understand that, you know, in mission month, we always collect two offerings. The first offering will be our usual tithe and offering. And the second offering will be for the month, for the year 2024 missions. All right, 2024 missions. And can we have the English chart? There's a file English chart up. All right, so this is our mission budget for this year. How many of you think 520,000 is a lot for missions? This is for the year 2024. How many of you think that 520,000 is a lot? Oh, no. Should we try 5 million? Is 5 million a lot? For mission. A lot, all right. Is 10 million a lot? For mission. You think 10 million is, whoa, Pastor Caleb, that's way too much. We are spending too much money on mission. 10 million, 15, 20, 25. If you think it's a lot, just raise up your hand, all right? I'm just going to keep counting. 25, 50, 75, 100 million, 200 million, 300 million, 500 million, 750 million, 1 billion. A lot of you didn't vote. All right. Now, to get things into perspective, Jakim, you know what's Jakim? Right, Jakim, their annual budget is almost 1 billion. You know what's 1 billion? Their annual budget is 1 billion to bring Allah to all the people in Malaysia. KLBC Mission Fund 2024, 520,000. Where are we? We are fighting a war. Whether we like it or not, whether you are being ignorant or not, whether you know it or not, we are fighting a war. And sadly for churches in Malaysia, we are losing this war. We are losing this war because we are losing people to the other faith. Intentional. 896 million is allocated by Jakim for this year actually. And the budget is expected to raise 1 billion next year. 520,000? 1 billion. A lot of people. A lot of work to be done. And you notice that we have this brochure for you. And we will really, really encourage you to take one home, pray about it, and see how you can contribute to the very small amount of 520,000 collectively from Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church. Pray about it. We have missionaries. We are supporting Christian organizations. And pledge a minimum of 100 ringgit for 1 year. It's about 1,002 per person. Just do that. And together we will be able to reach 520,000. But I would like to encourage you to think beyond that. Apart from just giving money, next year our church will restart and go. It's not that we are not doing anything, but we need to go to even more places because so many people have yet to know about who Jesus is. Can we swap to the slide today? That's part of my sermon. Now you'll notice that the scripture taken for today's sermon has been the one that I have been preaching previously. It's taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22, like what we have, what I've preached before. I'm going to approach this chapter or this portion of the scripture in a missional view, to look at it in a missional view. So can I have the slides? My slides? Yes, thank you. So we talk about arise to the call to missions. So arise, meaning to say we are not standing. We could be sitting, We could be lying down. We could be still doing something else, but we are not rising up the 2024 to missions. And this is the theme for the year 2024, that we will stand up from whatever position that we were in. It could be sleeping, you know, doing other stuff. We are to stand up and we are to respond to the call to missions. All right, and how do we do that? Okay, let's go back, you know, let's think back what we have gone through the past few months, and you'll see that it makes sense. All right, you'll see that it makes sense. Now, first of all, Peter gave three instructions to follow. We have talked about cultivating Christian love. We have talked about practicing the Lordship of Christ in every segment of our life. We talk about maintaining a good conscience toward people and God. And ultimately, these are the three instructions that Peter gave us, God gave us, in the, you know, if you want to experience the best blessing in the worst of times. And brothers and sisters, is this the worst of times? Some say yes. Some say no, I'm doing okay. I still have food. I still have money. Even though, yes, I do have a housing loan, education loan, whatever loan. But, you know, generally, times are good. And when the times are good, we are not standing up. We will comfortably sitting down, lying down, sleeping, take a nap, not knowing that Jesus Christ is nearer to coming back to us. So when we practice Christian love, we are bound to have persecution. People will jerk at us. People will laugh at us. Christians, you are stupid. Why do you show love to your enemy? When we practice the Lordship of Christ in our life, you notice that there are certain things that we do not do because it is wrong. And when we maintain a good conscience, we will realize that there will be tensions between people. Because we want to maintain a good conscience, we don't want to sin against God, there is bound to be uncomfortable time in our lives. But if we forsake all this cultivating Christian love, practicing the Lordship of Christ and maintaining a good conscience, we are seated down, we are lying down, we are comfortably in our comfort zone. And when we are comfortable in our comfort zone, we will not think about others. We will never think about others. So that is why, as we look at the passage this morning again, we look at the ministry of Christ and Noah, what Jesus has done, what Noah had done, and what God called you and me to do. So let me read quickly to this passage, and very quickly we recap what we have gone through. And then we will talk about certain motivations that we should have. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptisms that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who had gone into heaven and is at the right hand, God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is exactly the reason why we go into mission. To proclaim the death of Christ. To proclaim the death of Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 9, 27 and 28, not only the death of Christ, but we are proclaiming that there is judgment to come. Verse 27, 28, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So I talk about, you know, this is a very good illustration, right? So if this is the point where Jesus died 2,000 years ago on the cross. And as we look at this, this is a timeline. And we talk about, you know, did Jesus die for Adam and Eve's sin? In the beginning. Can we have some response? Yes, no, don't know. Did Jesus Christ die for the sin of Cain? Did Jesus Christ die for the sin of Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel? Yes. Did Jesus die for the sin of Peter? And then after that, we have the story of Acts. And then after that, until this point, maybe we are here. I don't know. I cannot see the ending yet because Jesus didn't really say when he's coming back. So Jesus died also for the people at our time. Right? So we have established that. And we know that Jesus is the righteous one and the people of the world are the unrighteous one. And we also talk about John 3, 16 to 18, because those who chose not to receive the free gift of salvation to come back to God stands condemned already in verse 18, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And we'll talk about Christ's death on the cross is sufficient for all who live. Right at the beginning, Adam and Eve, all the way to the point where Jesus is coming back, Christ's death on the cross is sufficient, is enough for all who live. But the challenge is this. Salvation is only made available if we believe in Christ. Now tell me, how can the people of the world believe in Christ if they have not heard about Christ? They wouldn't know who Jesus is. And when they don't know who Jesus is, how can they believe and put their faith in Jesus? Now, there are two different things, brothers and sisters. One thing is that we proclaim and they do not believe. One thing is that we do not proclaim and they don't have the choice to believe. These are two separate things. And God has called us to proclaim and leave the result to God. And as a church, we are doing this. We proclaim, regardless of what their responses are. But it is going to be a problem when God calls us to proclaim, but we do not. And because we do not proclaim, many do not have the opportunity to hear, and many have no choice but to die without Jesus. So this is something that we are proclaiming when we go for mission. The death of Christ. Let me just skip a few parts. We are proclaiming what Jesus has done. Second part. This should be the motivation. What I'm talking about now is the death of Christ, the proclamation of Christ, and also the resurrection of Christ. This is what we are proclaiming to the people when we go for mission. How many of you have been to mission trips? Just wave your hand so that I know, you know, roughly. Okay. There are rooms for improvement. Don't worry about it. Do not need to feel guilty about it. We are going to be more active in mission, local missions, regional missions. International mission may require a lot of funding. Let's do small, all right? Let's go and focus on the Orang Asli in Peninsula first. All right? So we are going to do that next year. So for those who have raised up your hand, God bless you. You have been part of missions before this. You know what it's like to bath in a yellow river. Some of you may have done that. To settle your excretion without a proper loo. Alright, so these are the environment that we are talking about. And the message that we are bringing to the people is the death and what Jesus has proclaimed, which is his victorious and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this, we have been talking about this before. We have been talking about this before, and these are the motivation why we are going. So the problem is, why are we not going? The scripture motivates us to go. The scripture motivates us to preach, to share. The question is, why are we not going? Why are we not rising to the call to missions? We are to proclaim the death of Christ. We are to proclaim the victory of Christ. We are going to proclaim the resurrection of Christ. But why? Why are we still here? Why are we not actively part of mission. Few reasons. One reason is that sometimes we think that God is our God of past. You know, Jesus Christ died about 2,000 years ago, and then we are like there, and then God doesn't seem to relate to us because the Bible was written so long ago. So when we see God speaks in the scripture, it may not be happening to us right now. So, you know, I don't feel God right now. I don't know whether God is God speaking to me right now. And when we see the stories of Daniel, we see that God triumphs. But looking at our life today, God, are you really triumphing in my life? And when we see in the scripture, in the Old and the New Testament, that God saves, we are asking ourselves, God, I'm in this trouble right now, but I don't see your saving hand. So can you find the reason why we are not moving? First of all, is that we don't experience God to the fullest. Simple way of doing this could be, you know, when you go into 1U, and 1U is terrible for parking, it's hardly any space to park. And then you tell your children, you know, children, let's pray for parking. And lo and behold, God answered your prayer, and you found the parking, and hallelujah, God bless. At times, we have been minimizing God to such that the powerful God who created the heavens and the earth have been minimized to become a genie or answer our prayer. That is the problem of Christians today. When God speaks, when God triumphs, and when God saves, in the scripture, we are no longer able to relate to that because we have been reducing God, the Almighty God, to one who answers our prayer when we ask for parking. Are we doing that in our life? Secondly, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, the last verse of the portion of scripture today, Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Let us check another verse. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said to the disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, I memorize this verse because it is my motivation to do what I'm doing today. The problem with these two verses are very often we miss out the first part, or in the previous sense, it's the last part. Jesus is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Sometimes when we read this portion of the scripture, it doesn't reflect anything into our lives. And when this portion of the scripture does not reflect anything into our lives, it is saying that God, there are certain areas in our life, that you have no control. There are certain issues that I'm facing now that is beyond your help. When we cannot understand all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me in our life, if we can't understand this portion, if we cannot live it out in our life by cultivating Christian love, practicing the Lordship of Christ, and having a good conscience, you will find that we are powerless to do anything. We are powerless to do anything. Because our understanding of who God really is, once again, has been minimized, has been reduced to a simple genie, perhaps. And that is sad. That is really, really sad. Prayerfully, we will be able to wake up. We will be able to stand. And of course, apart from this, if you are not, you know, if you are not this, Right? You still say that, you know, I commit my life to God. Every portion, every aspect of my life is under God's control. Then perhaps the next reason why we are still sitting around not arising to the call to missions is that we lack the sense of urgency. Still got time. The best excuse that we can come up with is tomorrow lah. What do you think is the best strategy that the evil one has for us Christians? If the evil one or God allows trials, you know, for example in China, you realize that Christianity, boom. Because of persecution, they can rely on God. So obviously that is not a really good strategy for the evil one. If you are saying that because the government is limiting our freedom to practice our faith, you will notice that Christians bloom because they wanted to experience God and they know that God is real as they experience all these trials. The best strategy that the evil one has for anything that a Christian practice, you know, praying, devotion, going for visitation, loving one another, is all these are good, but tomorrow lah. Just do it tomorrow. You want to do Bible study? Good. Start next week. If you want to love your neighbor, if you want to forgive your neighbor, good. There's a little voice there. Good. Do it next time when you meet him. Procrastination, the lack of sense of urgency, is one of the best excuses that we can come up with, or the evil one can come up with, that, you know, okay, 2024 mission, we do it next year. We are not starting today, we are starting it January 1st, 2024. Brothers and sisters, let us break this chain. To have the sense of urgency, because the gospel is only good news if it arrives in time. If the gospel arrives slightly later, it could be too late for some of them. Gospel is good news only if it arrives in time. And we have covered this part, the second part, where we lack the experience of Christ in our life. And that, you know, it could be one of the greatest hindrances to evangelism today because of the poverty of our own experience. This is spoken by Billy Graham. As we do not experience God daily in our lives, we are not going anywhere. We are chained, we are lack of power, we are not shining and doing what God has created us to be. And of course, the third example why we are not participating in mission is that we lack the love for others. Can you imagine saving an iguana? Imagine there's a boy, you know, his iguana fell into the pool, all right? And after you get the iguana out, you realize that it's not breathing. Would you perform a CPR on the iguana? All right. Do you know what's iguana? I should have put a photo of iguana here. It's hideous. It's a lizard-like thingy. Would you perform a CPR to the iguana as you see the little boy who owns it crying at the side? All right. This is where the problem is. We seldom take into account who the people of the lost belong to. So let me ask you, the people who are lost in the world today, who do they belong to? They too belong to God. As hideous as an iguana, as unlovable as they are, as unapproachable as they are, they need the gospel. And when we look at them, we may imagine them to be the iguana, but we have to remember that this iguana belongs to God. And when we only see the, you know, the hideousness of this iguana, we will never, never come out of our comfort zone and to love them. The world has more winnable people than ever before, but it is possible to come out of a wide field empty-handed. God has placed this church at Desa Park City with many, many settlements coming up, surrounded by middle and lower income Chinese in the Kepong area. So a young man with a starfish, you know, he walks along the beach, and at dawn he, you know, throw the stranded starfish back into the sea, because if the starfish is left stranded there, the morning sun comes up and the starfish will dry up and die. And this beach goes on miles and miles, and there are millions of starfish around. An old man asks this young man, you know, why do you think your effort can make a difference? There are millions of starfish around. They are so long of a stretch of the sea. How do you think that your effort can make a difference? Are you going to save the millions of starfish today, before the sun comes up? Now this young man, he looked at the starfish in his hand, he threw it to the safety in the waves, and he told the old man, at least this starfish that I threw back into the waves, this starfish is safe. We can't save everybody. We have to start somewhere, we have to reach whoever that we can reach in a systematic manner. And you will notice that we have been contributing in our mission fund in a systematic manner. We are hopefully building out more pastors. We are supporting Christian organizations that help different congregations, the Myanmar people. We have the Kevin, we have the Falun, we have the Mizo. We have local missionaries that comes out of the church and stay with the people. We have seminary students. All the pastors, including myself, are still upgrading ourselves so that we can be more effective in our studies, in our ministry. And we do have overseas missionaries in the region that is ministering to people. We are doing our very best at our capacity at the moment. But once again, all this comes with money. And if you have not participating in mission yet, very simply, I would like to encourage you to pray. This is something that we can do, right? This is something that we can do, right? All right? Now, in my hand, there is this little book. The title is The Peoples of Malaysia, Brunei, and Singapore. It talks about the people groups in Malaysia. All right? And of course, you know, when we talk about people group, Chinese, we have the Hokkien, we have the Cantonese lah, we have the Hainanese lah, right? So there are different people groups, even in Malaysia, that are unreached at the moment. All right? So by praying, asking God to show who, you know, you can pray for, you can go to Joshua Project and all this, I'll be sharing shortly. And by sending, pledging, sending people needs money, by pledging and by meeting the special needs of different places, you can participate in missions in this manner. And for some, it's by going, all right, to be a tent maker. You work, and there are few professions that are especially effective to be a missionary. If you are a businessman, if you are in the medical line, if you are a teacher, all right, these are the few areas that when this, you know, this region, you go inside the country, you say that you are a doctor, you are an educator, or you are a, what's the next one? Businessman. All right? If you go in as this, all, you know, this role, it's easier for you to get working permit and all this stuff. And at the same time, you can minister to the people whichever God has sent you. All right, so by going, and there is this interesting term, 1040 window. All right, if you can see in the map, that region, that little box there, 2/3 of the world population stays here. 2/3 of the world's population stays within this 10 to 40 degree north area above the equator. 2/3. So if our population today is 8 billion people, is it 8 billion? It could be. 2/3 of them here. We are here. Myanmar, India, China, the Middle Eastern countries, we are nearby. And comparatively, it's easier for us to relate to them. It could be because of our food. It could be because of our climate. It could be because we are, you know, as Malaysians, we are gifted with languages. We pick up languages very, very fast. We are placed here in Malaysia. We are placed here for a reason. It is really, really near for us to make an impact in this 10-40 window. And of course, if you choose not to go, God, you say, I have family, I can't do anything, I am not willing to take the risk and all this, you can welcome people from other countries and you can host students visiting from overseas countries. This is what Deacon Bruce and Deacon Bo Chu has been doing. They have been hosting students from China, mainland China. They have been sharing the gospel with this group of people here in Malaysia, here in Kuala Lumpur, here at the comfort of their home. At the end of the day, the Chinese students received the word, accepted Christ, went back to his hometown, shared the gospel there. There are many ways to do mission today. There are many, many ways to do mission today. So if you are able to welcome people of different country just by hosting them 3 months, 6 months, you'll be surprised how God can use you. And lastly, by learning. Again, Malaysians, we are really, really good at language. Some of us, we love Korean culture, so learn Korean. Some of us love Japanese culture, learn Japanese. Right? Some of us who do not understand Mandarin, learn Mandarin. So that at least you can communicate with those who speak that language. And you will never know, in a way, how God can use you to plant a seed, maybe. It could be to harvest. It could be to remove the weed from the person's life. God can use you mightily. If, and only if, we stand up and we answer the call to missions today. Would you do your part to be part of the missions today? I hope that you will. Prayerfully, you will get one of these pledge cards from the outside table. Prayerfully, you will contribute not only money, but we will plan for physical mission trips next year. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that we are very comfortable here in Malaysia, especially with such a good church building, Lord, with such a wonderful worship session, with such wonderful people in our midst, Lord. It makes us feel that, Lord, this is heaven on earth. But Lord, as we look outside of the church building, Lord, we see that there are still people who needed you and yet they have not known you. So Lord, we pray that you help us. Even though, Lord, we could be stubborn, even though, Lord, we could be really, really selfish at times, but Lord, we pray that you help us in our capacity to answer your call to mission. Either by praying, either by giving, either by going into a certain country to be a missionary there while working there. It could be also by welcoming people from other countries so that they can stay with us for a short period of time that we are able to minister to them. Or it could be by learning different cultures and hopefully one day, Lord, you will give us this passion to speak and to share your gospel to this particular group of people. So Lord, we are open, Lord. We pray that you help us to open our hearts, you help us open our minds, that you prepare us right now that we are open to your leading as to how you want us to make an impact, not only in Desa Park City area, not only in KL North, Kepong area, not only in Klang Valley area, not only in Peninsula Malaysia area, not only in Malaysia as a whole, but Lord, we want to pray that you help us to make an impact in this region, in this 10-40 window that you have strategically placed Malaysia. And Lord, we pray that you help us to live out a life that is consistent with our faith, that we no longer reduce you, that we no longer minimize you, to become like a genie who answers our prayer when we are in need. But Lord, help us to walk with you, just like Enoch did, that you have carried him into your presence without experiencing death. Lord, we pray that you will help us to walk with you in our life, whether we are eating, whether we are sitting, whether we are sleeping, whether we are working, whether we are speaking, Lord, everything that we go through in our day in, day out lives, Lord, we ask that you help us to walk with you closely, that you will help us to cultivate Christian love, that you will help us to practice to put our lordship in you, and to help us to practice and to be of a good conscience between you and people. And we just want to thank you for the message that you have given to us. And we pray that, Lord, you will help us to beat the 520,000 and to go beyond that. To go beyond that, Lord, because people are dying every day without you. So, Lord, we cannot save all the starfish. But, Lord, we pray that we can save some of the starfish. Lord, we know that some of them are ugly like an iguana. They are not lovable. They are challenging to love, Lord. But Lord, we know and we have to understand that they too belong to you. And Lord, we choose to love you. Help us to love them. We thank you for listening to our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.